Hello, and welcome to the Cardinal News of Virginia, a podcast from Cardinal News. We're a nonprofit independent newsroom serving Southwest and Southside Virginia at cardinalnews.org. I'm Lisa Rowan. The Cardinal podcast is sponsored by West Piedmont Regional Adult Education, helping to build skills and earn credentials for sustainable employment and self-sufficiency. Contact WPRAE.com. About two-thirds of U.S. households own a pet, but caring for a pet isn't always easy or affordable. Animal shelters and their community partners are constantly looking for ways to reduce the number of animals living at shelters. And two Cardinal News reporters have recently written about such efforts, Emma Malinak in Lynchburg and Grace Mammon in Danville. Ladies, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks.
I thought it would be interesting to bring you on together for today's episode, since you've both covered animal shelter and animal care issues in recent months. Grace has been covering the strain on Danville's only animal shelter and potential solutions for more than a year, and Emma recently wrote about a new veterinary clinic in Lynchburg that's under construction. Emma, let's start with you. Tell us about the new veterinary clinic the Humane Society is building in Lynchburg, and who will it serve?
Absolutely. So this new clinic is under construction, as you said, and there's going to be two main populations that it's looking to serve. The first is, of course, the animals already at the shelter. The Lynchburg Humane Society shelters about 3,000 animals per year. And of course, those animals are coming in with health needs. So this clinic gives the Humane Society a little more room, a little more equipment, all the right tools that they need to serve the animals already in their care. But the second and probably more important group that they're hoping to serve with this is local families who need a little extra help paying for veterinary care. So this is going to be structured as an affordable care clinic where families can elect how much they're able to pay for services, and that's what's going to be put on their bill. So there can be flexible payment plans where you pay a little bit every month for a surgery or a service. There will be other kind of tiered payment options for basic check-ins and checkups. Essentially, they're hoping to give everyone in the Lynchburg area the veterinary service they need without cost being a barrier. So that's a project that's under construction, and hopefully we'll see some more movement in the spring and the summer as they get closer to opening.
This is an expansion of the Humane Society's affordable spay and neuter clinic that it has in Evington, which is about 25 minutes away from the Lynchburg shelter. Is there an affordable care clinic like this anywhere else in the region around Lynchburg?
That's a great question. So we do see affordable spay and neuter clinics throughout the area. Nearby Lynchburg, we're thinking cities like Charlottesville, Roanoke, Harrisonburg, some of those bigger hubs, you will see those affordable spay and neuter clinics. What's unique about Lynchburg's clinic, though, is that it's going to combine that affordable spay and neuter surgery service with other affordable care options like your everyday vaccines and smaller surgeries and things like that. So that combination of services is going to be unique to the Lynchburg Humane Society in this Central Virginia region. But everyone there is really optimistic about offering that new kind of service. They already have a lot of traffic at that Evington clinic. I just pulled out some numbers. They serve about 8,000 pets per year at that Evington clinic. So they know the demand is there. And those pets are coming from 20 counties. So we're really looking at a really big reach across Central Virginia. So the hope is that this new clinic can continue to serve that group and hopefully do it with a shorter wait list and some more services that they're able to offer.
Grace, you've been covering challenges at the Danville Area Humane Society for more than a year. The shelter has had high euthanasia rates due in part to the fact that it's the only animal shelter in Danville and gets a lot of traffic from outside of Danville. What can you tell us about the strain that shelter has been under in recent years and why it's so pronounced?
Yeah, so this has been a pretty contentious conversation in Danville in recent years. Like you said, the Danville shelter has been the center of it, mainly due to high euthanasia rates, although that might be an oversimplification of what's a pretty complicated issue. So this shelter in Danville is a public shelter, and like most other public shelters, it operates on an open intake or open admission model, which means it takes in any animal that comes its way, whether it's from Danville or from a different locality, and regardless of space or resource constraints. And unfortunately, it's not uncommon for healthy animals to be euthanized at open admission shelters because of things like space constraints. So if the shelter, say, runs out of room before it can find a home for certain animals. And then in contrast, a limited intake shelter can and does turn away animals and usually has lower euthanasia rates because they reserve that for animals that are terminally ill or considered dangerous to the public, things like that. But usually a locality will have a mix of both public and private or open and limited intake shelters to balance out that animal intake and kind of collaborate. But in Danville, there's only the one public shelter, so everyone has an opinion on how the shelter should reduce its euthanasia rates, whether it's to transition to limited intake, which the shelter is not in favor of. They want to continue to accept all animals that come their way. Some say there should be more progressive sheltering methods, bolstering of foster and adoption efforts, better collaboration with other shelters. And then, of course, there's the argument that this part of this problem is the onus is on the community to get community cats spayed and neutered, to keep their animals in their home, to adopt from the shelter rather than going to a breeder. So there's responsibility kind of almost everywhere in a locality, and there's lots of ideas and very little agreement on the solution. So it's been pretty contentious in Danville.
One of the positive things that's taking place there is Homeward Trails, which is a nonprofit rescue organization that's based in Northern Virginia, but opened a facility in Danville in June. What's the goal of that location, and how is the rescue different from the Humane Society? How do they work together?
Right. So the goal there is to have another animal welfare organization in Danville with a physical location to hopefully help take some of the strain off of the municipal shelter. So Homeward Trails isn't a shelter in itself. It doesn't house animals at its location now, but it basically can coordinate local foster care for animals. So the Homeward Trails director in Danville essentially visits the animal shelter and pulls animals from there to place them with local foster families until Homeward Trails out of Northern Virginia can transfer them to permanent families or to other shelters in Virginia with more space. So they also run a pet pantry out of that location, and the goal there is to help folks keep their animals in the home. The cost of pet food and other resources can be one of the reasons that people take their animal to a shelter as an owner surrender. And so having those resources available may alleviate some of the financial burden of keeping a pet in a home. And the larger goal there is to deviate some of the animal intake, the animals that would be going to the shelter, which is already so strained with a high number of animals.
Emma, what about the cost of veterinary care as it contributes to, you know, animals maybe ending up in the shelter due to financial strain? Is the upcoming clinic opening in Lynchburg expected to help reduce the population of pets that get surrendered to the shelter?
Right. So as Grace was saying, when families decide to surrender their pet, often they are citing financial reasons. That can go back to food and those everyday supplies, but it also can go back to veterinary care. Since 2020, the cost of veterinary care has increased about 40%. So that's about twice the rate of overall inflation. Lots of things factor into that. You know, we're looking at increasing costs of pharmaceuticals, of medical supplies, the rising cost that it takes to pay veterinary staff and pay for their insurance and all of that. So there are lots of things that contribute to that. But at the end of the day, the vet bill that you're getting at the end of your visit is significantly higher than it was in 2020. So that certainly can be a reason that families cite when they surrender their animals. So yes, the hope with the new clinic is that if there's no longer that barrier to veterinary care, if families can get the care they need at a price that makes more sense for their family, hopefully that means they can keep their animals at home, which alleviates burden on the shelter and hopefully participates in that positive feedback loop that Grace was talking about, where community can do its part in keeping animals out of the shelter.
I wonder what sort of reception that you both have received to your articles about animal shelter issues. I know that people click on these articles because they have cute animal photos at the top, right? And like that always draws people in. And so many people have pets and love their pets that they have an interest in this. And I wonder what kind of feedback you've gotten, whether people, you know, write in with encouragement or concern when you publish articles about these initiatives.
I can speak on that first. I guess it's a pretty contentious issue in Danville, and there is a pretty harsh separation in ideologies about the correct or the best way to go about sheltering. And so there's very little middle ground almost. So it is an issue that's very, you know, people are very passionate about. They have strong opinions. And of course, animals are close to people's homes. You know, they care a lot. So it's something that we do get feedback on. I think in Danville, I've mostly just gotten appreciation for covering this issue, which for many, many years, I mean, I know this has been going on at Danville for longer than I've been reporting on it, probably like over a decade. And it every few years kind of comes back to the surface and then ebbs away again. But by and large, it's been mostly something that people talk about on social media, which can get just kind of very chaotic. And you know, everybody has an opinion, and the Facebook comment section can be really just really charged with this passion about animals. So I think people appreciate having a news organization take a look into it and kind of take a step back from everybody's you know, kind of yelling at each other online and presenting what is really a very complicated issue, no matter where you fall on which ideology you fall into. So I think there's value in taking that larger look and approaching this objectively.
Yeah, I agree that I've also seen a lot of appreciation for this kind of coverage. I think with the specific research angle that I took with it, looking into veterinary care, I got a lot of appreciation because this is an issue that really affects every pet owner now. You know, rising costs of this level, when we're looking at a pet surgery that could cost $10,000 or $15,000, no family has that kind of money sitting around ready to pay for a pet surgery. So this really has become an issue that touches every household that owns a pet. And so because of that, I think it's on everyone's mind in a way that really creates an appetite for news coverage and for specifically solutions-oriented news coverage. You know, what we know this problem exists. We have experts who are willing to talk about that. But what's next? You know, what can we do to make sure that this isn't a problem for families? Because Lisa, as you said at the start of the podcast, is it 2/3 of American families that have a pet? So
yeah, 2/3.
So we know that this affects so many people. So it's important to have that kind of solutions oriented work that talks about how we help all those families.
Well, what's next for your reporting on this topic? Emma, we'll start with you. I feel like you'll be first in line for the ribbon cutting at this location, if only to see all of the really cute pets that'll probably show up. You had some great photos in your most recent article about this. Is there anything else you're looking at in the Lynchburg area?
Yeah, so the grand opening is scheduled for November, so we're still a while out from that. But I certainly will be there to see how those first opening weeks and months go. And then, of course, my goal with this coverage is to see if the plan works. You know, I look forward to seeing if this affordable care option does result in fewer pets being surrendered and does result in a more accessible pathway for families. So only time will tell with things like that. But this summer, every time I drive by, I'll keep an eye out on how the construction is going. And I do look forward to that November grand opening.
Grace, what about you? What's next for you and your coverage? You've also had, I will say, you've also had some amazing, wonderful pet pictures on your articles. And I think you've met some very cute pets along the way. But what's next in terms of your reporting on this?
Yeah, so I'll likely have a story this month with some updated figures about euthanasia rates at the Danville shelter. Every year, the Virginia Department of Consumer and Agriculture Sciences, I think I got that acronym right, puts out numbers about euthanasia rates and intake rates at each shelter in the state. And those numbers are self-reported by individual shelters who file those numbers with the state. So I think the deadline for that is January 31st. So sometime before the end of the month, we will have the 2025 euthanasia numbers and intake numbers for the Danville shelter. And I will be curious to see how those compare to recent years. In 2024, they were slightly less than in 2025, which was a small but positive step in the right direction. So we'll see how the 2025 numbers look.
Excellent. Well, ladies, how can readers reach you with questions or information? And Grace, we'll have you start us off.
Yeah, email me anytime at Grace, G-R-A-C-E, at cardinalnews.org.
And Emma, what about you?
Yep, same for me. Email is best. My email is Emma at cardinalnews.org.
I love it. We keep it simple here. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being with us today. It was great to speak with both of you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Cardinal News of Virginia. Thanks to our sponsor, West Piedmont Regional Adult Education, to Sean Eddy of Eddy Alexander for production support, and to Cardinal News' own Zach Shelton. Read all of our paywall-free local news coverage at cardinalnews.org. I'm Lisa Rowan. Take care now.